to be fed, bread and wine, prayer and song, community and silence. This morning, we find them here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link, our email newsletter, and get all sorts of important information about things happening within the congregation and in the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way has meaning for you. We have lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning to everybody in the nursery. We have the playground down front and godly play and connect after the word for all ages. A few important announcements. We are about to head into the season of Lent. That is the 40 days from now to Easter. There are many ways to participate at FCC Natick. We will have lots of special worship services on Sundays and other days. We'll have weekly gatherings on Wednesdays. There's a beautiful soul sabbatical packet that is going to be available. This is me looking at Sarah Lynn. In coffee hour, right in the vestry. There's also a link online if you have any trouble finding it. Folks watching from home, let me know. This coming Wednesday, we will mark Ash Wednesday with a soup supper in the vestry, followed by a worship service in the sanctuary. Unfortunately, this is on site only, so supper at 6:30, service 7 here, a service of music, readings, communion, ashes. Folks are invited to participate in whatever way has meaning for you. But today is Mardi Gras, this afternoon, beginning at FCC Natick at 1 p.m. Then we're going to parade to St. Paul's and have pancakes. So Mardi Gras today, 1 p.m., downstairs in the vestry, then parading to St. Paul's. This is part of the Interfaith Harmony Week celebration in Natick. We are halfway through that celebration. A couple things I'd like to draw your attention to that are still to come. Tomorrow is an interfaith iftar gathering. We've just entered into the holy month of Ramadan. Our Muslim brothers and sisters break their fast every day with an iftar, with a meal. So tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, all are invited across the street to Common Street, where we will have an interfaith iftar. Any questions about that, see me or Sarah Lynn. We look forward to seeing you there. And then the Harmony Week finale is Tuesday, 7 o'clock, Hartford Street Presbyterian. That's going to be a big musical celebration. So join us for those upcoming really special events. Today is the first Sunday of the month. What month is it? See, you don't know either, right? It's really hard to keep track of where we are so far. So today is the first Sunday of March, which means we will be marking communion. Folks online, we invite you to get a bit of food and drink. I understand some of you are having Girl Scout cookies as your bread this morning. Totally fine. Here, we're having, gluten-free bread and wine or grape juice. In the room, you'll be invited to come forward to receive the elements or raise your hand to be served in your seat. This ritual of remembrance is open to all. Participate, please, to whatever extent is meaningful for you. So as we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle as much as you can, your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath. Relaxing your shoulders. Even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Today, The light sets before us a feast of love in abundance. Let us welcome the light.
Good morning, I'm Karen. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, take us to the mountain. God, it's been a week. Take us to the mountain. A week of stress and work and worry. Take us to the mountain. We need your shining light. Take us to the mountain. We need to be changed from the inside out. Take us to the mountain. And then bring us down again with you. Amen.
We're going to sing together. When I Needed a Neighbor, would you please stand in body and spirit? We'll listen to the band play the melody through one time, and then we'll sing together.
We begin our centering prayer this morning with a little bit of relative silence. You might think over the last 6 days, where has there been fear, pain, grief? Bring all that into this time with God. Let us pray. God of the mountaintop and the valley, bring us close to you. Shine a light on our true selves that we might see how beloved we are. Show us a path that leads us forward in creating the world as you intended it to be. Amen. It's curious that we call this part of worship sharing God's peace. Like peace is something scarce we have to divide up, a cookie we split in half, a toy we all want to have to take turns. But I think it's just the opposite. As we seek to give peace to each other, God's peace grows in the world. So let's share God's peace this morning, sending a deep breath of comfort and strength to those on site and online, knowing that we are part of a chain reaction that can fill the world with peace. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you, and also with you.
Thank you. Our scripture reading that, and I feel really loud. That's off. You'll take care of me, Randy, right? Yeah, thank you. Our scripture reading this morning is known as the Transfiguration. Jesus takes three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, you might say his three favorites, up to the top of a mountain. Jesus' clothes start to glow. The biggest prophets in Judaism magically appear, and a voice calls out of the clouds. In Christian tradition, this is thought of as a moment when Jesus' divine spark is made dramatically visible for his companions to see. The story of the Transfiguration appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Remember, these are called the Synoptic Gospels because they present a similar view of Jesus. And every year on the Sunday before Lent, what today is, the church marks Transfiguration Sunday. And the lectionary includes one of the three versions of the story. The story is full of symbolism, so Karen and I will tell it together.
The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. Hear the good news. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray.
As soon as Luke's audience heard the episode took place on a mountain, they knew something special was going to happen. Mountains symbolize the presence of God, and climbing a mountain is understood as drawing closer to God. The Psalms, of course, are filled with mountain metaphor. The temple is built on a mountain. Moses, who's about to show up in a minute, went up to the mountain to speak to God multiple times, and that's where he received the Ten Commandments. And Elijah, who's also waiting in the wings for this story, was on the mountain when God became known to him in a still, small voice. So Luke's audience, and now you, know that something special is about to happen. But the beginning of the passage is also pointing to something that happened 8 days ago. It starts right out now. About 8 days ago. You want to know what happened 8 days ago, right? Yeah. 8 days earlier, Luke says, Jesus was telling his students that following him would not lead to power and glory. Instead, it would lead to rejection, pain, and death. Jesus always had the worst inspirational speeches. So Luke goes right from that bad news into this morning's passage. So Peter, James, and John have heard there's a rough road ahead, and now Jesus is taking them up a mountain, the traditional place for encountering God, so that they can keep him company while he prays.
And while Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white.
Jesus gets a literal glow up on the mountain. Exactly what that looks like and means isn't completely clear, except that his clothes are very bright. But there's more.
Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem.
Just a little chat between Jesus and two dead prophets. But not just any dead prophets, the two most important leaders and teachers in Judaism. These guys have a lot in common with Jesus. Just a few examples include when Moses was born, Pharaoh wanted to kill him, like King Herod wanted to kill Jesus. Elijah raised people from the dead, just like Jesus raised Lazarus. Both Moses and Elijah left this world under mysterious circumstances. Elijah rode to heaven in a fiery chariot. God told Moses where to die and then hid his body. And apparently Jesus leaving this world is the topic of conversation on the mountain. Moses and Elijah are talking to Jesus about his departure, which he would accomplish at Jerusalem. These ancient prophets are talking to Jesus about his death, which he is heading toward as he journeys to Jerusalem. Wonder what Peter, John, and James will make of that.
Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him.
This is a recurrent theme for Jesus' disciples. When Jesus needs him, they like to nap. But apparently, the appearance of dead prophets, got their attention.
Just as the prophets were leaving Jesus, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said.
Here is a hint for Peter. When you don't know what you're saying, say less. Peter never learns that lesson. But he's offering a reasonable suggestion, drawing on Sukkot, the festival of booths when the Jewish community builds shelters outside to remember how God was present with them in Egypt. Clearly, God is present here on this mountain, so it's reasonable to think they better set up camp and stay a while. And Peter seeks to honor all three of the prophets. But for better or for worse, nobody's staying on the mountain.
While Peter was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone.
A voice in the clouds proclaiming that Jesus is special. Does that remind you of anything? Baptism. This is very similar to what happened during Jesus' baptism. So clearly there's a lot of holy stuff going on up that mountain, but even they cannot stay. Nor, it seems, can they tell anybody what they saw.
And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen.
Most likely nobody would have believed them anyway.
These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them.
Thank you, Karen. Thanks, Karen. Children of all ages are invited to lean. Where did they all go? Okay, they moved over there to lean in for a word for all ages. Okay, this morning's scripture reading is called the Transfiguration, but I think it should be called the first support group. A support group is when people who have something in common get together to give each other support, to listen, to care, to encourage each other. Sometimes it just really helps to be with someone who knows what you're dealing with. Amen? When my son was born, I was in a new mom support group. Now I'm in a pastor support group. I wouldn't say we talk about you at all. So I think we just heard about the first prophet support group. Up on that mountain, Jesus, the prophet, teacher, healer, met with Elijah and Moses, two other prophets, teachers, and healers. Scripture doesn't tell us anything about what happened during their meeting. But I imagine that Jesus told the other two that he worried he wasn't doing a good job, that he was nervous about what was going to happen next, and that he was tired and stressed out. And I imagine that Moses and Elijah nodded in understanding and said something like, "You are doing just fine, and God will be with you through it all, and you really need to delegate more to the disciples, even though they're always messing up." Their words didn't magically solve all Jesus' problems, but he felt a little less alone, a little stronger, a little clearer about next steps. We need support groups just as much as Jesus did. Maybe we need a support group for being left out at recess, or maybe we need a support group for feeling like our parents aren't listening. Maybe we need a support group for worrying about the news. One of the things I love about church is how we are an automatic support group no matter what you are dealing with. How this is a place we practice giving and receiving support, so we're ready to form support groups out in the world wherever they're needed. You don't even have to climb up a mountain. As our kids get ready to head off to Sunday school, let's send them with our blessing. Let's bless these children. Living God, be a constant source of support to these beautiful and beloved children. Wherever the week ahead takes them, may they feel held by you and us. Amen. usually quite critical of the disciples, because they are always messing up. But I have no beef with them today. I think their desire to pitch a tent on a holy mountain makes perfect sense. Jesus has recently told them that he is going to suffer and be killed. Your teacher, your leader, your hero is going to be killed? Stress and grief. And Jesus had told them that if they wanted to follow him, they should be prepared to give up their lives as well. Stress and grief and fear. Then Jesus takes them up a mountain to a holy place, away from all their worries, where they are finally relaxed enough to sleep, apparently, and magical things are happening. I am fully on board with Peter's plan to make three dwellings. To build a clubhouse on the mountain where the bad guys won't find them. To put up a tree house where they can hang out and finally catch their breath. To make a fort where everyone inside agrees to live in compassion, justice, and peace. Doesn't that sound nice? Get away from the news and reports of deportations of people with no criminal background. Like a relief, a break from thinking about climate change, Ukraine, layoffs, even a necessity. It is an act of resistance to disconnect from empire's intentional overwhelm. I would imagine that even Jesus for a moment considered the option. But then he took a deep breath and started back down the mountain. I'm guessing I'm not the only one tempted by a mountaintop safe house. We could all go together. We could buy one of those survival pallets from Costco and make for the hills, build our stronghold, and finally relax. Except God has already picked a spot for our tent. It's right here in the midst of everything, where it's most needed. At the bottom of the mountain. The inclination to build a clubhouse is not only understandable, but a good plan when it looks like the sky could truly fall. It's just that the shelter needs to be right here, with doors open to those who need it most. Peter wanted to build the shelters on the mountain, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah, but maybe we could do the same right here. Elijah's tent would be a space for learning and conversation. Elijah was known as a wise teacher. He formed the so-called School of the Prophets, gathering students to wrestle and reflect on how God calls us to live. So we need to build a place where we can come together to learn, to speak with honesty, and wrestle with the hard questions. And since Elijah was known for working miracles, his tent would be a place where only truth could be spoken. Where defensiveness melted away, where ears and mouths and hearts were fully open. Like I said, miracles. Moses stood up to power, even when it cost him personally. He could have remained a prince of Egypt, but instead he made Pharaoh release the Hebrew people. So maybe we don't build a tent in Moses' name, but a platform, a stage where we can gather to show the strength of our numbers, have room for making signs, practice the chants for our marches. Moses famously parted the Red Sea so the Hebrew people could travel safely, refugees from oppression and violence. On Moses' stage, we part the red tape of our broken immigration system, realizing the value of those who come seeking refuge. A shelter that represents Jesus would, I think, have to be a table. For all the times he sat at table with those who were on the margins of society, and for his last table when he promised his presence always. A table can be a shelter when the earth is trembling or the army invading, but even when it isn't a literal physical shelter, a table can be a shelter from separation and isolation, a place where we are welcomed, cared for, fed in body, and in spirit. So we build a table in the midst of the world, a table of both compassion and justice, where there is room enough for all and enemies somehow become siblings. A table like the one before us today, where we are welcomed just as we are, but also invited to become who we were meant to be. A table where sharing the feast with other beautiful, beloved children of God heals the pain of separation and isolation. A table where we are given food for the journey so that we will have what we need to bring that same compassion and justice to the world. So let's side with Peter and his desire to build three shelters. But instead of up the mountain, let's build them here, in the middle of everything, right where they're needed most. And then we can invite the world. Amen.
Thank you.
the tradition of this church to celebrate communion on the first Sunday of every month. So folks at home, I invite you, if you haven't done so already, get yourself a bit of food and drink. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Heather. Heather's feeling the joy of the sunshine. A little cooler today than I would have liked, but I will still celebrate the sunshine. June, do you have any joys up there?
Yes, joy from Robert Ramage. There are 7 beautiful children in the nursery today.
Okay, Bill is in the nursery helping out, live texting about what's happening in there. Blessings upon the 7 children in the nursery this morning and the adults who are with them. Love that. This past week, Sarah H. had a successful knee replacement. That is a joy we are feeling today. She may be watching from home. Love to you and Doug. Lane? Harmony Grove is fully a joy today. Yeah. Yeah, Art. Oh, the 6th grandchild is arriving for Art and Karen. Congratulations. Where do they live? Are they nearby? They live in New Hampshire, so not very far. So glad you'll be able to be close to them. Thanks. Did I miss any? Yeah, Jeff. Did you bring everybody back? We celebrate the joy of the delegation to San Maria Ceja in Guatemala. We celebrate them going, and we celebrate their return, and we celebrate the chocolate that they brought with us, and we look forward to hearing more about this journey in the days ahead. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Sarah Lynn. Prayers for Sarah Lynn's aunt Deb, who 25 years ago had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and now doctors have found a few spots on her spine. Not sure if it's related to that earlier diagnosis or if it's something new, but prayers for Deb and also for Sarah Lynn's mom, Deb's sister, as she worries about her sister. Declan? Having a laser pass through his body that is going to help make sure that he is fully healthy and well. And we celebrate the medicine that is going to be hard at work in his body. We also recognize, as Declan says, he's worried, and he's worried on a number of levels. One, that's just a lot to have to do. Amen?
Amen.
But also, he's worried that because of that, there may be some special days that he will miss, like a grandmother's birthday and Easter. Though, but we're saying those are just dates on a calendar, and we're going to find, you're going to have those celebrations one way or another as soon as you can. So we hold Declan and his parents, Beth and Kenny, in our prayers as they enter this particular time, and we are here with our prayers throughout, through all the ups and downs that may come. You got this, Declan, and we're with you. Thank you, Declan. Other concerns. June, do you have any?
Yes, this is from Jeanette Zaretter. She said, please share prayers for Susan Lane, her son Jay Speak, and family. Town resident, former florist, sepsis survivor, multiple amputee, suffered major heart attack this week. Prognosis not clear.
Prayers for Susan L., community member who's involved in a whole bunch of things, who had a major heart event this past week. Prayers for her son, family, all impacted. And I'm just going to toss in now prayers for Jeanette, who the reason Jeanette's home is she's supposed to be on vacation, but instead she went into the hospital for an appendectomy. The surgery went well. She is home recovering. Wayne is hiding in the sanctuary. But I know he's done a very good job taking care of her. And Jeanette, we're sending all of our love and healing to you. Heather. Heather Raises Up the World. That is going to be the name of my memoir. Heather Raises Up the World. Knowing everything that's happening in the world, we hold it in love. Prayers for compassion, justice, and peace. I do not have permission to share that yet. So remember that some weeks there are things that we are not saying out loud. There may very well be things on your heart today that you are not saying out loud. We do not have to say them out loud for them to be held in the love of this place and in God's all-encompassing love. Did I miss anything up there, June? Okay. Beloved, are you hungry? Hungry for comfort in the midst of chaos? Hungry for strength in the face of stress? Hungry for companionship in the struggle? Then come to this table and be fed. In this morning scripture reading, Jesus knew his death was coming because he will challenge the powers that be, because he will refuse to be silent, because he will defend those who need him. He knows he will be killed, which means he knows this meal is coming, this Last Supper that he will share with his friends and followers, his last chance to tell them what matters, his last chance to comfort them, his last chance to teach them. And so, as is Jesus' habit, he will use whatever is right at hand to teach the people about God's love. This is a nice full loaf, but it most likely wasn't at all what was on the table for Jesus. There was probably a crust of bread left over from the meal. And Jesus takes that crust of bread and reminded them and us that as the grain is bound in the loaf, so we are bound together by God's love. In the same way, Jesus took the cup, which was not full but almost empty of wine, and reminded them and us that even if our wine red blood spills, there is new life with God. Jesus looked around at those gathered around the table and promised them and us that there is power in community and nothing can separate us from God. Connecting that moment with this one, let's pray together. Please join me in blessing these elements here. God of the mountain, the valley, the table, the tomb, bless the bread and cup on this table and every table. Full of your spirit, these gifts are no longer grape and grain, but hope and strength and commitment and peace. Living God, may this meal be food for the journey, filling and refilling our hearts so we can bring your compassion and justice to the world. living out the call given to us, since the words we could say were just cries, by the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us eat and drink together, celebrating our covenant relationship to each other and to God.
Sharing the bread, reminder of God's presence, we become the hands and feet of God. Sharing the cup, a sign of God's love, we are strengthened in our relationship with God. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for our hands, stronger now to touch, reach, hold, serve. Thank you, God, for our eyes, clearly focused now to see deep needs and gifts in all our brothers and sisters and siblings. Thank you, God, for our tongues, free now to speak your praise in love and joy. Thank you, God, for our ears, tuned now to the cries in our world for bread and justice. Thank you, God, for our feet, running now with you. Amen. We are, as I mentioned, more than halfway through Natick's first Interfaith Harmony Week. It's been a wonderful opportunity for rich conversation, deepening relationships, and lots of laughter. We are already talking about plans for next year. If you haven't had a chance to participate, hopefully you can join in today's Mardi Gras celebration, tomorrow's Iftar feast, or the final musical celebration. But even if you can't participate in person, you are there in spirit. The activities are only happening because of the work of the leaders in each community. In our case, that's me and Sarah Lynn, and Sarah Lynn's the one who organized today's festivities. Our work is possible only because of your generosity, your financial gifts that make our work possible, as well as your belief that interfaith collaboration is indeed a valuable investment. So as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, we do so with joy for the rich diversity of religious expression and your commitment to interfaith collaboration.
Here last month. It was snowing. You might not have been here, but many of you were. I was impressed. And we introduced this Latin jazz doxology, which is our beloved old doxology, but with a Latin feel to it. So don't be alarmed, but as we play with Consuelo and Doug, we're going to sing this. I will guide you through. We're going to sing it through twice. Are we going to listen to you one time? We'll listen to Willie, and then we'll sing. Okay, let's move. praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God, all that love has done. Creator, Christ, and Spirit one.
Great job. We'll do it one more time.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above that love has done. Creator, Christ, and Spirit one.
God bless these gifts and the people that gave them and the bodies that move them into the world. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You can just stay up. As we've mentioned, this is the last Sunday before Lent starts, and we have our Mardi Gras celebration starting at 1 today. Harmony Grove is going to help us move in that direction toward a Mardi Gras feel. If you were at all hesitant at this point about coming down the mountain to be in the midst of the world, this music will get you moving. You cannot stay up on the mountain when this music is playing below. So we've got two verses of When the Saints Go Marching In. To sing three more verses, you gotta come back this afternoon. Beloved, go out into the world in peace. Have courage, hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the suffering, honor all persons, honor all creation. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the love of God, the light of Christ, and the power and communion of that Spirit be with us all. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Wait till you hear what we're going to sing now.
And I have learned many things from Willie Sordillo over the years. One of them is that the origins of Iko Iko are in New Orleans for Mardi Gras. And so that's what we send you down the mountain with today.
Sitting by the fire, you can sing. My grandma told your grandma, gonna set this place on fire. Talking about, hey now,
hey now,
hey now,
hey now.
Iko Iko Ane, Giacomo Fina Ainane, Giacomo Fina Ane. Thank you.
Hey now.